This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's turn our attention to the news stories of the week and the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Every week we manage to get a decent breakdown, an analysis, a summary of the big stories of the week. And this morning we're thrilled to be joined by Poli van Wyk, journalist of great and well-known renown and repute. Poli, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I'm sorry we were struggling so hard to get hold of you for the last couple of minutes, but you're here now. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Cool. Well, we haven't spoken to you in a while, and there's a lot that's happened, a lot of water under the bridge. You've been breaking stories left, right, and center. But let's, if you don't mind, start off this week with a discussion around Busisiwe Mkhwebane. What's going on with her at the moment? First of all, I think, you know, she was caught between a rock and a hard place when she was first appointed. And obviously the administration, her boss, the president, has changed. And a lot about what the cases are that she might have been, I don't know, particularly keen on before might have moved down the priority list. And some of the things that were not important to her before are now suddenly very important. But she's also got issues with her security, right?
Yeah, how interesting is that situation? But the woman keeps on making very strange decisions. The last time that you and I spoke, we also spoke about her and the strange decisions she made in her office. Mm. Now, this time, huge alarm bells are ringing because she involved the State Security Agency in the day-to-day operation of the Office of the Public Protector. Now, the State Security Agency are those guys who we call the spooks. And I'm sorry to say so, but traditionally in this country, they were always there to protect the president rather than to actually live out their mandate and to protect the country and, mm-hmm. and the people inside of the country. Exactly what their name says, they're supposed to guard and to shield us from all sort of threats from outside and obviously from inside. Now, what Busisiwe, who has a state security agency background, what she has done is that her security manager is currently being trained by the state security agency in the classification of information. Now, that is a bigger problem than I can actually describe almost to you. This is something that cannot be overemphasized. The public protector is an institution that should be totally apart and totally impartial from any government institution in South Africa.
Yeah, in fact, her job there is to almost review government and to occasionally check in on them and be able to prosecute where necessary.
Yeah, exactly. So an example that I can give there is how she... the public protector office before her, via Thuli Maroncela, in the end, got information, very secret and classified information about Trillian and about the Guptas and about how the Guptas run or initiated or wanted to run Treasury. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for Thuli Maroncela at the time, we wouldn't have known about all of this.
Yeah.
So the problem that we have now is that she's bringing in state security and she's opening a channel for state security. Will obviously not keep quiet and keep silent when there's such confidential and such very important information inside the public protector's office that can hurt the state.
But Poli, does this mean that the state security agency has insight into things that are going on at the public protector's office that they should not? Or does it mean that Busisiwe Mkhwebane has information that she should not have from the state security agency?
No, it would be the other way around. Yeah. So Busi has information about the working of state security. She knows how state security works because she's worked there. But when she's bringing in people and getting a security manager to be trained by the SSA, you know, we are unfortunately in a space where state security makes use of double agents. Mm. And if they, for example, convert that security manager into an agent who continuously feeds them with classified information, right, we will definitely have a breach of information from our office. And our office works with very, very sensitive information.
And sources, which you as a journalist know all about. So sometimes someone will whistleblow to the public protector, and if the state security agency knows about that person, they could unfairly target that person.
Absolutely, and that's such a good point to make, because these people have information that might harm individuals in the state, and most definitely they will be targeted. And we know that even our country, as free as the media are, we don't have an amazing sort of whistleblower program or people that keep our whistleblowers safe.
Like they have the witness protection program in other countries.
Yeah. Here it sort of fails. We have a protection program, a witness protection program, but it's not, it's also one run by the state. Mm. And you want to keep, with every case that the public protector is involved in, you would want to keep the people totally apart from the state, and the whistleblowers you would want to keep totally apart from the state.
Well, since it's often the state they're ratting on. But let's talk about some other things, because, I mean, poor Busisiwe Mgwebane, do you think she's going to last in office? I mean, before we move on to something else. You don't think she's going to be there for a long time?
No, she shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, really, Thuli Madonsela, everybody talks about how great Thuli Madonsela was, but it's incredible how bad Busisiwe Mgwebane is by comparison. And even if there wasn't a Thuli before, we would still be saying Busisiwe Mgwebane is no good at her job.
Yeah, definitely. Just if we analyze the legal decisions that she made, it's sort of as if she has this goal and she just wants to get to that goal. So she sort of microwaves all her decisions until it's right and where she wants it, and then she just go for what she wants. And that doesn't work. I don't have to tell you that doesn't work like that in law. You have to have a causal sort of argument of how you're going to make this work, or how you're going to get to your decision, or how you are going to write this report. You cannot just decide on what goal or what you want and then you just go for it. So that, for an example, how she handled the APSA SIACS report was just atrocious. And I've never in my life seen, still to this day, a person who got such a stringent court judgment against them, saying that they really shouldn't be in their job.
And she had to apologize about her comments about the Reserve Bank and a bunch of other real missteps that just show that she's very amateurish at doing what she's meant to be doing. Okay, let's turn our attention to the Northwest, because the once all-powerful Premier League seems to be disintegrating. I mean, David Makura, for what it's worth, is now our deputy president. But Ace Magashule is battling for his life in the Free State. There are all kinds of charges that are being drummed up against him at the moment, and there are all kinds of people coming forward with evidence, the Stena Dairy Farm case and everything else. But the third member of the Premier League, Super Mahuma Pelo, has also got a basket full of problems.
Yeah, he does. So maybe one of the biggest problems at the moment would be a political one, where no confidence vote is about to be initiated against him. And the EFF this week went to court saying that they actually want that vote of no confidence in secret. So they are asking for a secret ballot, and their request was shot down. And then they said, okay, well, then we're going to court. Mm. And we're going to tell the court that there's already a precedent set. And you'll remember the president in President Jacob Zuma, former President Jacob Zuma's case, where there was also a secret ballot in Parliament. So there's already a precedent set for the legislature for a vote against Supra. So that's on the one hand. Politically, that might not work. He might live through it. Whether it will happen for the second and the third time is not so sure, because the politics change so quickly. And as you rightly said, his biggest backer at the moment would be Ace, sitting in the top six, and guarding this unholy triad almost of the Premier League. And Ace would be his biggest backer in terms of political, in political terms.
Right.
So, and at the moment, he will be fighting for his life also in terms of the things that he's done. The Danel debacle just came out. His son has got a 1 million rand sort of a grant to go to flying school, which is also a big problem, especially in today where we're sitting with a president who actively says we cannot afford a option anymore. This cannot happen anymore. So yeah, the Premier League will definitely have a problem living through a series of events. But I think in the moment, Supra might still live through this first vote of no confidence.
Well, of course, his knee-jerk reaction has been to claim that ANC members are threatening the unity and the stability of the organization. You know, it seems that whenever a bad person is found to have been bad and people start turning their backs on them because they no longer want to be associated with them, the person in question starts saying, uh-oh, what about unity? What about the party? What about us all working together? Mm. What about collective responsibility? And that seems to be what Supra is doing in a moment of desperation.
Yeah, exactly. So it also shows us that they've never developed in their political arguments, you know. So it was always a matter of we're the top dog and we can do what we want. But the moment they are challenged, the moment when they are said to be, you know, confronted with a problem that they've not encountered before, or a problem of being ousted in terms of their power or their position, mm-hmm. then the only fallback that they have is that someone has an agenda. Right. Against me. The media is being ugly with me, and mm-hmm. There's a political faction against me. You know, they'll never. And on the other hand, one can understand that, because what will Supra tell us? You know, of why he shouldn't be removed. He can't fall back to his unblemished credentials, because I mean, the latest scandal of Denel just came at the very awkward moment. He can't fall back on an amazingly well-run province. I mean, the Northwest has been experiencing problems and instability since forever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been political killings. The factions, even the ANC factions inside the Northwest, has fought each other with chairs and candelabras and things. So, Supra doesn't have anything to fall back on in terms of political coinage and how he can say, no, but I actually did well for this province. I mean, the road's actually a taste to that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Polly, while we're in the West, the Northwest, Julius Malema, there are threats against his life, and suddenly the EFF are beefing up security around him, and it seems that the threats are mostly coming from the Northwest. Is this credible?
Well, it's difficult to say, you know, from the outside. They've reported the matter to Police Minister Becky Tele, and they said that there's a threat on Malema's life, and they also beefed up his security for the entire leadership after they received this information for an alleged plot to kill their leader. But so let's analyze that. On the one hand, we know that Julius Malema recently gained this name for actually having the best information in the country. He's been breaking stories and files left, right, and center. Mm-hmm. It's also, on the other hand, in a very political, unstable time, especially for the poor people like the EFF and the DA. I mean, the ANC took away their best weapon. They took away Jacob Zuma, and they gave us Cyril Ramaphosa. Everyone loved Cyril Ramaphosa, and I think the EFF and the DA is sort of a bit on edge, you know. So if there are these threats, and if they can prove some or other plot that the ANC has cooked up against them, mm-hmm. you know, it might go some way to help them towards the road of 2019. We've certainly had no actual proof of anything against his life, but we also know that we live in a volatile country, so it might be so. I mean, President Cyril Ramaphosa's bodyguard the other day got hijacked in a car. Fortunately, not with Cyril in it, but
yeah, we would have heard about that.
So all of these threats, all of these threats, one should always.
I'm curious, because what you seem to be intimating is that sometimes politicians make the threat seem greater than it is in order to gain themselves some kind of currency, some kind of notoriety. They try to obviously garner some support or even sympathy from people. And we've heard of this before. I mean, a lot of times when Jacob Zuma was confronted with anything, he'd say there's a poison plot against him. There were people trying to kill him. In many cases, that may have been true, even within his own household. But often, these things are a distraction from the real story.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's been used, I think, mostly to garner some support and saying, you know, I've been doing good work. There are people that want to get rid of me. If you vote for us and if you make us a bigger party of you, or if you let us win, we will obviously govern better. And the opposition is clearly on edge because of that. And that's why they're threatening us.
Do you think that the EFF have a chance to gain a lot more representation in the Northwest? Do you think there are even municipalities that they could end up running outright?
I think they'll struggle. For example, what happened in the Eastern Cape, Nelson Mandela Bay, when they wanted to get rid of Athol Trollope.
Yes.
You know, that really blew up in their faces. It showed that they actually aren't so important in terms of the political landscape, that they aren't so influential, that they make loud noises, yes, and that they what they do very well is to set the agenda in terms of what we debate, like the land reform question, and like a white mayor in Nelson Mandela Bay. So that they do very well, but actually change things is, you know, they don't have the political power at the moment, and when they fail and they don't have, you know, they're not successful in and careful in the agendas that they set and the project that they initiate, they will not garner more support. No, I don't think so.
All right. While we're talking about opposition parties, and you mentioned Athol Trollope, I see Natasha Mazzoni has been elected in the DA. What has she been elected to?
Yeah, how interesting is that? And there was a massive problem with Mazzoni being elected. She was elected to one of the governing bodies of the DA. So they're taking that to court at the moment.
Who's taking
it? It's a bit of a non-story.
Who's going to court?
Morning.
Is she going to court or is someone else?
Well, there was some advice that the DA got that they said, you know, we might want to take the election to court. So it seems as if there's an internal DA fight within themselves that they would want to, yeah, exactly, that they would want to take the Mazzoni election to court. Because we know that the DA at the moment have their own problems. You know, there's some faction that says that Musi Maimane has been in office way too long, and that he has not made the change, or he didn't bring change as he should have. So when Mazzoni was elected as this sort of a second deputy chairperson of the Federal Council, it was seen sort of as a second position created for her on the one hand, and then the rest of the DA would say no, it was just a position created because it was necessary. But yeah, it's one of those DA infight things that we'll see how it pans out. And what is important there is what happens with that appointment is that we'll see which faction in the DA is the strongest, and that would be interesting to see.
Now, Natasha Mazzoni is obviously also in the news fairly often because she did a lot of really hard questioning during some of those portfolio committees in Parliament, particularly when it came to things like the SABC and ESCOM and SAA. So she's obviously carving out a niche for herself too.
Yeah, most definitely. And give it to her. She did excellent work. And I think that might be one of the reasons why she was elected to the second deputy chairperson position. She gained notoriety when she, you know, in terms of the poor people that had to go and testify. She was a bulldog that just didn't let go. She asked hard questions of people like Anoush Singh and Brian Molefe and Lynn Brown. And she, between her and Pravin Gordhan and some of the EFF MPs, they really had a hard time. So they did really good work. She's carving out a name for herself as a sort of a tough politician. And it might actually, you know, just on the face of it might actually be a very good appointment. But we'll have to see how the DA and in the internal DA politics play out.
Okay. All right. Polly, one other quick thing. What's happened in the aftermath of the Winnie Madikizela-Mandela funeral? I heard people getting euphoric about ANC EFF reunion. I heard people talking about how this is some seminal moment in ANC policy moving forward, not just ANC policy, but kind of taking stock of their own history, giving credit for certain struggle activities where it's due. Do you think this was a seminal moment, and has anything really significant happened since the funeral, or was there just a lot of chest beating?
I think it's a lot of hot air, and maybe it's one of those themes of debate that is necessary, but it's not necessarily going to change anything.
Afraid that line's got particularly horrible, so I'm going to let Polly go. There's Polly van Wyk, the burning platform this morning, brought to you by Nando's. We don't want the line to get worse, and we started so well, Mavs, huh?
Yeah, well, you know.
It's deteriorated. Sia, please say thank you to Polly. It's always nice to talk to her. There she is. In case you don't know anything about Polly, you need to go and follow her on Twitter. She's really good. Journalist with the Daily Mavericks investigative team, Scorpio. She's also a former journalist at The Mail and Guardian and Media 24. And she's a fellow of Amabungane, and someone who really does have a lot of sources in the news media and knows her stuff. So pay attention to Polly van Wyk, and you won't be sorry. There she is, the burning platform. It's brought to you every Thursday by Nando's. Justice Malala is usually in the hot seat, and this week Polly very capably stood in for him, and we'll hopefully chat to her again soon in the future.
This is CliffCentral.com.